Well, good afternoon, everyone. I will never forget nor forgive what they did to me. This common saying, brethren, reflects the deep hurts of life, but God requires Christians to forgive the evils done to them. Brethren, the title of my sermonette is, We Must Forgive Those Who Wrong Us. A forgiving spirit toward those who wrong us is an important element in the Christian life. There are some things we must do as ambassadors of Christ. We must display a forgiving spirit. We must exercise mercy toward other human beings. And we can't be unforgiving. A forgiving spirit. Holding grudges can be just as damaging to the grudge holder as the person who the grudge is being held against. Holding a grudge means that you are living with a feeling of anger almost constantly. Even if it's below the surface, how we act toward that person may change. It doesn't mean we will put ourselves back into a bad situation or that we suddenly accept or approve of the person's continued wrong behavior. It simply means, instead, we release them from the wrong they committed against us. We forgive them, brethren, because God forgave us. Now come with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Verse 8 of Romans 5. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, he died for us. As we strive to live in this evil world, we must forgive those who wrong us. Remember, brethren, the story of Joseph down in the land of Egypt? Joseph was a young man at the very pinnacle of success when sudden disaster struck. He was framed on made-up charges after he rejected the romantic advances of Potiphar's wife. No judge and jury helped here. He was automatically sent to prison, and there he stayed for years to think about the twist of fate that can happen to a young, innocent man. The mud of false accusation had been thrown, and it had stuck. No one tried to wipe it off his face. An employer had believed a false charge. A husband had believed a made-up story of attempted rape. They threw the mud, and it stuck. Years later, when Joseph was made second in command of all Egypt, one wonders where Potiphar and his wife were. Well, brethren, the Bible records no attempt on Joseph's part to wipe off the mud of the horrible years before. What a forgiving spirit, brethren, Joseph had. Exercise mercy. God demands that we exercise a great deal of mercy toward other human beings. Sometimes someone may have spitefully wronged us, yet we must forgive. Brethren, it might not be easy to do. Then we should follow the principle Jesus gave. Come with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And we'll read verse 44. Verse 44 of Matthew 5, it states, But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. By praying for another individual, we will increase our concern for that person, and a forgiving attitude will be generated. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 32. Ephesians 4:32. Verse 32. This is what Paul is admonishing those at Ephesus to do. He said, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Luke chapter 6 and verse 36 and 37. Verse 36 of Luke 6 says, "Therefore be mindful, just as your Father also is merciful." I'm sorry. It was not mindful, but merciful. Verse 37, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Brethren, we need God's forgiveness. And we need to exercise that same quality of forgiveness toward other people. For our eternal life's sake, we have to follow Jesus Christ's example and forgive as he himself said. Unforgiving. Brethren, as Christians, we cannot be unforgiving. Instead, we must be forgiving. And mindful of other people's feelings, even if they have wronged us. Remember the Apostle Peter's question that he asked Jesus? Let's turn to Matthew 18 and see. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. This is what Peter asked Jesus in verse 21. "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" In verse 22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you, Peter, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now, brethren, let's listen to Jesus' allegory in verses 23 through 35 as he go on to explain this to Peter. In verse 23, Jesus said, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. In verse 25, "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made." In verse 26, "The servant therefore fell down before his master, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Please, just give me more time. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him, and he forgave him the debt. In verse 28, "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me my money. Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Please, just give me time. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31, "So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me to. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" Huh? Are you listening to me? In verse 34. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now, brethren, in verse 35, listen to what Jesus concludes here as he go on to talk to Peter. This is the meaning, brethren, of the whole allegory. Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Now, brethren, behind every story is a moral. And Christ's moral in this allegory in Matthew 18 is that we must forgive those who wronged us. Brethren, we live in Satan's world, and forgiving isn't always easy to do. However, as ambassadors of Christ, we must forgive those who wrong us. Now, in conclusion, brethren, listen to this true story. Racked with pain, with each breath more excruciating than the previous one, Jesus still had supreme concern for his murderers. He had been falsely accused and illegally condemned to death by a kangaroo court made up of his worst enemies. He had experienced the cruel torture of a Roman scourging, which left his skin, brethren, hanging in shreds. He was nailed to a stake between two criminals, his head thumping with almost unbearable force. Yet through his suffering and with his tormentors shouting abuse to his battered face, Jesus uttered in total sincerity, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Brethren, Christ died as he had lived, setting us and leaving us an example. Brethren, we must forgive those who wrong us.